Just one more thought on the setting aside of the flesh. There is a practical example here in verse 6 of this thought, and that is the thought of contentment. And you see that in the fact that Elisha is content with the fact that the ravens bring him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook Cherith. One of the evidences of the fact that the flesh is not set aside is the fact that of the thought that people use today, and that is, especially young people, that is boring. And that is, this is, to use today's vernacular, a boring diet. It is, he eats two times a day. And he has the same thing every day, two times a day. And he only has water to drink. And yet he's content. So the fact that the Word of God brings out the fact that there is evidence of the flesh being put aside because there is contentment in the life of Elisha. Is there contentment in our life with our lot? Or do we want lots of things?
Go ahead, Brother Bessie.
I think that brethren answered what I was about to ask, but let me just take it from there and kind of like highlight these three prominent words that basically we've been discussing. Fellowship with God, obedience to God, and dependence on God. Pretty much these are three very important lessons we learn in the school of God. I wouldn't know how to obey God unless I am in fellowship with God. Unless I am spending time in the sanctuary, putting effort to know the mind of God from His Word. I wouldn't enjoy the grace of God, practically speaking, unless I am obedient and I'm learning how to depend on God. That's where we see Elijah coming into a situation that according to the natural, according to the flesh is painful, as the brethren suggested, hiding. But according to faith, it's something that is very valuable and very wonderful and brings the prophet to a high grade or a grade up. Makes him graduate to the next level and makes him a vessel of honor used by God. So I would like to kind of suggest maybe if we can dwell a little bit more on how God can sustain the prophet using a widow. Or are we going to say that the prophet was sustaining the widow? More likely, as the New Testament tells us in the Gospel of Luke. Is it which case is it? Who is sustaining who?
Well, it flows out, first of all, Brother Bassam, from the fact of the sustaining power of God at the brook Cherith. The ravens, remember, if you go back to Deuteronomy 14, that of the clean, of the unclean birds, the raven is mentioned as food that should not be eaten by the sons, right? By the people of God. And yet God, in His great wisdom, His sovereignty, uses the raven to feed him. And He feeds him regularly. Now, we don't know how long Elijah stood at the brook. He stood there long enough for the brook to dry up. For supposedly, in the natural sense, the resources to end. And God does not, before the resource ends, God doesn't tell him, I'm going to end the resources at the brook, and therefore you're going to have to find something else. He ends it abruptly, and he casts Elijah upon him. And this is the matter of faith. Elijah casts completely upon him, and who does he introduce him now to? To a widow woman. I think the circumstances that are brought out in the widow woman is this. A widow is someone who is bereft of her husband, which means that she's also bereft of resources. She does not have wherewith to meet her need. And we see that later on in the little cruise and in the barrel that she speaks of. But she has limited resources. And why would God send Elijah to a person who has limited resources, because you're dealing with the limitless God.
Amen.
But he is in control.
Yes.
He told him in verse 4, I commanded the ravens.
Yes.
So the ravens obey the voice of the Lord. As a matter of fact, the creation, creatures in general, put us human to change. Balaam's donkey will obey the Lord. The ravens will obey the Lord. The fish in the sea when Jonah, the great whale, will obey the Lord. The little fish that Peter went and caught and find the money in it will obey the Lord. You will find even a piece of iron obeys the Lord when it sunk as the head of an axe of one of the sons of the prophet. And so even the creation that does not have a brain and think is in complete control of the Lord. Yet man who has supposedly, I'm going to use that word advisedly, free will, does not obey the Lord. So here the Lord is saying, I command the raven to feed you. And these ravens, against nature, because they don't snatch and steal and give to somebody else, they steal and eat. But they will take this meat and bread and give it to Elijah in the morning and in the evening, according to God's timing. But now, it is the widow woman. He said the very same word in verse 8, I commanded a widow woman to care for you, to sustain you. God is in complete control, not only of creature that does not have brain, but also with those who have brain. He is in complete control. And Elijah realized that, the complete control of God in every circumstances. And because of his appreciation of the living God, he would go and obey and go there. Again, it is against the logic. How would be a widow woman who is very poor? You know, as one have said before, in Elijah's life, there are two women from Zidon. The poorest woman and the richest woman. The poorest woman was this widow woman, and the richest woman was Jezebel. And they were both from the same place. And they were both in the life of Elijah. And look how God was in complete control of every circumstance. So he obeys the voice of the Lord, and he goes there. Because to me, he was the first messenger to the Gentiles. Elijah is very unique in his characteristics. He was the first one, really, as we realize from the scripture, that is going to a Gentile territory to bring the blessing of God to the poorest of the nation.